Welcome to the worst week yet, the least informed podcast on the left. It's a podcast where every week we cry in the shower so no one can see the tears streaming down our face. But thanks to America's crumbling infrastructure, we end up getting lead poisoning in our tear ducts. I'm your host, Andrew Hillary, and I'm joined by two of my pals. First up, we got longtime friend, most times co-host, Deanie Rose. Deanna, what's up?
I did my crying this week in the dish pit of a restaurant.
Let's open up this fucking pit.
it's kind of like crying in the shower, but you could do it while you're at work.
Ooh.
And since I spent 75 hours of my week at work this week, that was as close as I was getting.
Well, it's good to multitask. Also joining us, Kennedy, back from injured reserve. How you feeling, pal? Where'd you cry this week?
Not 100%. I cried in my house, mostly. Actually, 100%. I haven't left the house much this week.
I haven't been in the house much this week, much to my devastation. So I just had to do my crying in public places.
I left my house for the first time for the first time since returning from tour this week, because I was sick with COVID and, just hanging out and whatnot. I went to an open mic and being around people, I was like, oh, fuck, dude, everybody's trying to talk to me. And, everybody wanted to ask me the same two questions. How was tour? What was your favorite place? And I was like, oh, I just have to keep saying the same thing. This is overwhelming. And then I bombed so hard. It was the worst set I've done in so long. But that was, a combination of me being rusty and nobody at that bar wanting there to be comedy happening. So it's never a good combo.
Never a good combo. No. What? If it's any consolation to you, I worked the open mic at my bar on Thursday, and it was extremely low turnout. Mm-hmm. And also not a lot of funny happened.
Oh, okay. So yeah, I would have fit right in.
Maybe this week was just like everyone bombed.
This wasn't a funny week.
Yeah, this week, the vibe this week was not lighthearted and laughter.
Would you say that maybe this week was the worst week yet?
I got a tip for folks.
It could have been.
Ooh, what's your tip, Ken?
Instead of bombing, try bonging.
Yeah.
What's up? Welcome to the open mic.
I'm smoking my way through my problems right now, okay?
So am I.
Yeah, can you smoke a cigarette out of a bong? Because I might be into that.
I mean, you could smoke tobacco out of a water pipe. I think that would really fuck you up.
There's no need to be whatever that is.
Correct.
How dare you?
There's no need to be accurate.
To be correct.
There definitely is no need to be accurate. We're doing a podcast.
Yeah.
Speaking of a podcast, we do have quite a show for you folks. Before we get into it, just want to real quick say thank you to the folks that support us over on patreon.com/worstweekyet. You can support the show. You can get access to bonus episodes that we will be recording. We're going to be doing our best of soon. Best shows we watched this year. Deanna said she only watched one show. So you'll have to sign up to see what it was and if it was good or not.
Are we doing albums also?
I listened to one album this year.
Wow. So like in each category, I listened to like one podcast this year.
Okay.
So like in each category,
we're going to do the worst best of show.
Just be like, I got nothing.
The worst best of yet.
We're bad at stuff.
We are horrible at it. Patreon.com/worstweekyet. If you support the show giving $10 a month, we say your name. So, big thank you to Chauncey Anders, Terminally Online Leftist, Zap Actions Downer, Mega Force Base, Nandy Angelus, Old Hobgoblin, Dracula 206, AJ from Baltimore, The Man in the West, Optimus Crime, Pablo Hummus, Goblin Mode, Andrea Humphrey, You Fuck Like My Dad, Josh Troopin, Brienne, Nick Adams, parentheses, Alpha Male, Id Nix, and CIA. Brain bugs.
I like how you always save that one for last, unless there's like a new patron.
Yeah. Well, CIA brain bugs. That's like I think the longest it's Idnex and CIA Brain Bugs. That's the longest supporters. They came over for my old show. Them and Ordinary Andrew, although that motherfucker disappeared. Just kidding. He messaged me like a week ago or something. Anyways, patreon.com/whatsweekend. We got a lot of fucking news to talk about.
Okay.
Can you believe how worst this week was yet?
Yeah, but I got... Can I lead with my story?
Let's... You know what, Kennedy? Let's fucking go. What you got? I hope it's something that we like on this podcast.
Is it something we joke about a lot?
This, yeah. In fact, it is. This week, Lego Fortnite came out, which sounds like I'm doing a bit, but is a real thing.
Okay.
It's a massive multiplayer sandbox experience. It's like Minecraft.
Yeah.
It's like Tears of the Kingdom. It's like all the things that you like. And people are raving about it. Also, what happened in the first day was some folks recreated 9/11 in Lego Fortnite, and that went viral across the internet.
Wait, Lego Fortnite or Lego Minecraft? What are we talking
about? Lego Fortnite.
I don't think I know what Fortnite is.
Nobody does.
I do, kind of.
I thought it was a dance.
Yep, that's right.
No notes.
Wait. What the fuck is Fortnite? I'm a grown up.
Fortnite is a video game. And I'm going to actually give a little bit of a detailed explanation here because it's important to this story. It started as a survival crafting game and then became the most popular battle royale of all time and slowly dropped all the crafting elements. But because it always had these secret crafting elements, and sometimes they would do crafting modes. Now they have a new crafting mode, and it's Lego Fortnite.
Oh.
And 1,200 skins have been ported to Lego. I don't know if Pickle Rick on the back of Peter Griffin is available in Lego yet. Again, all these things sound like I'm doing a bit, but this is all reality. I haven't made anything up.
You're
I just want to be
saying words, and they're words that I recognize, but in this particular order mean nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
The important part is that we never forget to play Fortnite.
So wait, so it's not a dance. Was there a dance?
There is a dance in Fortnite to the point that
dances in Fortnite are a big deal. It's a whole thing.
Well, the thing is that somebody took a dance that people were doing on TikTok and made it into something you could do in Fortnite, and then it started getting called the Fortnite dance, but it was just a dance that somebody was doing that. I don't know. I've heard people get mad that dances that they created ended up in Fortnite. So,
well, there is kind of this thing with like they're kind of stealing from black creators without giving any type of credit.
No.
In a lot of cases.
In the United States of America?
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
So there are dances.
There are dances.
Yeah.
Both in Fortnite. They started in the real world, then got put on TikTok, then got put into Fortnite, then people started doing them on TikTok in the real world again.
Okay, so at this point, we're
the circle of life.
We're like 6 degrees of separation from anything that actually fucking happened.
Yes.
Yeah,
well, I would say 9.11 degrees.
Hey, are we going to talk about I might have one more thing that I want to discuss, because are we going to talk about the Young Thug trial?
No.
Did you talk about that last week?
I don't think so. I don't know what
Andrew does not know who that is or what that is or why that is.
I know why that is.
Why?
Systemic racism.
Okay.
Good
well,
answer.
You're right about one.
Good answer. Wow. We love it. You know what? You have no right to be correct. You have no right to be fucking correct. I don't like that.
Tell us about the Young Thug trial. Also, who's Young Thug?
Young Thug is the greatest rapper of all time. He's from Atlanta.
Okay.
Debatable on the first fact. Agree on the second.
Not up for debate whatsoever. Young Thug is on trial for RICO charges.
Organized crime. Okay, yeah. I remember hearing about this.
They're using his song lyrics as evidence in the trial.
Well, that's not good, I would say.
It's not. It's something that's been going on since the 90s. Mm-hmm. But they are trying to make this trial into a bit of a possibly a moment to shine a light on the fact that using song lyrics in court like this is wrong.
Yeah, I mean, so did anybody ever prosecute Johnny Cash for killing that man in Reno? Like, you can just say stuff in a song.
Yeah, what about...
Also, I'm of the opinion, and this might be controversial, I don't know, that even if you did a crime, if they don't have the physical evidence to prove it, you should be allowed, legally allowed, to brag about it in a song.
If you get away with a crime, you should absolutely be able to brag about it, for
sure. Like, they never found Earl's body, and that's why the chicks are out here just living.
Who did that song? Maybe next time he'll think before he cheats.
Wilson.
Wilson, volleyball from Castaway.
Her last name is Wilson, I think.
Anyways, she could probably get prosecuted for property damage, unless maybe the key that maybe they can't prove that it was her. I don't know why I took us in this direction. So this is the precedent that has already been set that
there's a bad precedent like that's been set, and they're trying to maybe fight that precedent a little bit at the moment. But also, an important thing that we need to discuss. Well, actually, there's so much, since you haven't covered this at all, because you didn't cover it last week. I wasn't sure if you would.
I believe we did cover this like whenever it first started a couple years ago, I think.
Yeah, I think we covered it in some fashion when he was arrested, which is, it's fucked up how long it took this trial to start. That's a whole thing. I just want to make a few mentions. One is that the anime Bleach came up in one of the lawyer's opening statements.
Why?
Because there's five co-defendants aside from Young Thug. She was like, listen, my guy's just like a side character. I'm not joking.
That's valid. That's valid.
This was her argument. She was like, my guy's just like a side character, you know, there's no organized crime going on here. Basically, a lot of the arguments that they're making is like, yes, a number of these people have engaged in criminal activity, but it's not like in like an organized crime sense, which I think is a reasonable argument to make, because like a lot of these guys are just drug dealing for their own purposes or things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Anyway. Like I do a lot of disorganized crime. I get it.
And so Bleach was referenced in regards to disorganized crime. Also, Brian Steele is Young Thug's lawyer. This guy has gotten some incredible legal victories over the years, and he is a smooth motherfucker. So here's some of the acronyms that things that have been so you know, there's all these accusations about Young Thug's lyrics. So Brian Steele is recontextualizing a bunch of Young Thug's lyrics. So first of all, the song Pushin' P with Future and Young Thug and I think 21 Savage or somebody, I can't remember who the third person is. That stands for pushing positivity.
Yes.
Pushing positivity, folks.
Yeah.
You
get back what you put into the world. So if you push positivity, you'll end up getting back positivity.
Exactly. Thug in Young Thug's name. Now that could sound like a menacing term, right?
True heroes understand greatness.
Good guess. Truly humble under God is what Brian Steele said.
Yes, get it. That's so funny.
Truly humble under God. Here's a few more. Swag, someone who admires God. Slat, S-L-A-T-T, which you might may or may not be familiar with. Show love all the time.
Love it. I love it.
OPP, overly positive pal.
Mm-hmm.
Slime, OPP? Seeing Lord and me every day. Anyway,
creative.
It's
I love to see things like this, you know. It's just like
it's beautiful stuff, really.
You know, it's I hate it whenever bad people do stuff like this, but whenever it's people I kind of fuck with, you know, like for example, the greatest rapper alive who I've just learned his name. You know, I love to see things like that.
How could you not love to see it when it's someone who's truly humble under God, you know?
Exactly.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We will keep an eye on that.
This court case is expected to last 3 to 6 months. So
Jesus fucking Christ.
We'll get updates periodically, maybe.
Look, who am I to judge? But if you can't get that case settled quicker, like, come on, you're not even trying hard. Okay. We have a lot of news to cover. This week we saw, I wasn't quite sure what the fuck was going on. I kept seeing all these stories about people going to Panera to get to commit suicide by lemonade or something. And so I finally looked into it. Apparently, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but apparently Panera Bread has been named in a second lawsuit for wrongful death after people drink their charged lemonade and then their hearts explode. Have either of you tried the charged lemonade from Panera Bread?
No, and I'm honestly not inclined to.
No, yeah, I try not to pay $17 for hospital food.
Yeah, I haven't had Panera in a long time, but it did always feel kind of like hospital food to me. It's just like a weird, I don't know. It was like, why is this?
Panera Bread is the only thing worse than Panera Bread is Cheesecake Factory, which sounds fun, and then you get in there and it's got the most hostile vibe you've ever experienced somehow.
Yeah, somehow it's decorated like the Olive Garden, but like wrong. I don't know. It doesn't matter. The point is,
people keep dying from drinking this lemonade.
I had a job at Panera when I was a teenager.
Oh, yeah?
Everything was frozen.
Yeah, that makes sense. Does the soup come in big bags?
Mm-hmm.
That's gross.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I'm gross, so I'm like, yeah, give me bag soup.
Yeah, and then you had to put it in the like the big sink and then run hot water on the bag to defrost the soup.
So anyways, apparently one cup of this lemonade contains like 90% of your daily allotted intake of caffeine. And the most recent guy who died drank 3 cups of it, and then like he just fucking his heart exploded. So I don't know. I feel like this, it's shocking that this doesn't happen a lot more, the way that Americans consume like energy drinks and stuff. Like, I don't think that caffeine kills people for the most part. I don't think that they have much of a case, because like the amount of people I know who will drink like 3 Red Bulls or like multiple Monster Energy drinks or like whatever, and they like, if caffeine could kill you, way more people should be dead from it.
Me.
Deanna, you're hard to kill. You're just very easy to injure.
Yeah, that's true.
I
like to go fast.
If you're not falling apart, are you even falling? Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I guess that there's like rare cases, but Americans consume so much caffeine and we are terribly unhealthy as a populace. Like there should be way more people dropping dead.
So I didn't, 390 milligrams in a 30-ounce serving.
Like, why not just say 3.9 grams?
Unclear.
Anyway.
260 milligrams of caffeine in a 20-ounce. So that's more than you'll get. Wait, this is so fucking stupid. A 30-ounce charged lemonade can contain as much as 390 milligrams of caffeine, which is more than you'll get from drinking a 12-ounce Red Bull. Duh. Duh. Like, a 12... How are you going to compare 30 ounces of caffeinated drink to 12 ounces of caffeinated drink and then be like, you're getting more caffeine here in the bigger one?
I feel like being that it's Panera Bread, like they would probably not use, they would be on the metric system or something. Like, I feel like that kind of place is like, yeah, we don't use the standardized measurements.
They use artisanal measurements.
Uh-huh. They don't use cups. They use bread bowls. All right, let's move on.
What if all the people that have dropped dead recently, like, what if it's actually been just Panera lemonade all along? Like, all the people that they're like, he got the vaccine and then his heart stopped. What if it was Panera lemonade?
Panera lemonade is the leading cause of myocarditis or whatever?
What? Yeah. What if the guy that was captaining...
Wait, is this what got Kissinger?
Probably. They were like, you need to get charged up, Mr. Kiss, and then he fucking died.
The Kissinger of death, dude.
Mr. Kiss.
Every Kissinger begins with K. I don't fucking know. What? Yeah, that's my new theory. That's my new conspiracy. I feel like maybe the guy that wrecked that submarine, he just had a heart attack under there.
I like that you did a submarine reference. I already have one planned for later in the episode. Interesting. You know what? Ooh. We need to we stopped talking about the submarine way too fast.
I mean,
I've been saying this.
Rich people had a maritime disaster on a way to take a look at someone other rich people's maritime disaster, and that's incredible.
Well, I guess we can just transition into the story where I was planning on bringing that up. This week, Time named their person of the year. It's Taylor Swift. Wow. So brave. So powerful. And now this is... I'm not saying anything against Taylor Swift. I'm talking shit on Time magazine because this is like the most fucking thirsty ass... Like, this is like so clear. Like, hey, do you guys want to buy a magazine? Like, it's so lazy. Like, how the fuck? Okay, Time person of the year. Like, first of all, Sean Fain or like any of the labor leaders would have been a much better choice. Any of the dozens of Palestinian journalists that have been, you know, facing life and death every single day to report on this story, many of them death, or even. The fucking the stepson of the submersible guy who tried to use the fact that his dad just got imploded to get free Blink-182 tickets. Like, any of these people.
That's my person of the year.
You know what I think we should do for our like holiday recap bonus episode is we should do just our persons of the year.
Okay. And we could do person of the year.
Oh, my other person of the year is the Australian lady.
No, you're spoiling it.
This isn't my actual answer, though. It's just a bit. I was just going to say it's the Australian lady that tried to poison all her fucking family.
And she would have gotten away with it, too, if she hadn't bragged about it in song lyrics. It's like Time magazine saw what Taylor Swift did for the NFL and was like, what if we could cash in on some of it? It's sad.
It's sad, but you can tell, like, whoever was in charge of the photography and the whoever's in charge of stuff there hated it, and they made it known by how they made that woman look in those pictures. I mean, I don't find her facial features to be particularly attractive in general. She is helped much by cosmetics, but the pictures of her are rough. She looks rough.
Really? I don't think I even saw the pictures of it.
I mean, she looks bad.
I don't think I've ever seen Taylor Swift without makeup. We should not all just start Googling what does Taylor Swift
look like. I
don't think
I know what Taylor Swift looks like.
She looks like an automaton. You can tell that she's not a real person every time you look at her.
Yeah. Oh, no. They tried to make her look like a Palestinian journalist.
Yeah. Why does Taylor Swift have on... a white turtleneck under a denim shirt.
She looks like a conflict journalist.
Under a Carhartt jacket with a corduroy collar. And like done but undone hair and then a red lip, but she just looks hollow.
Yeah.
She hates her life.
Well, what they did was they were like, what if we picked Taylor Swift, but then dressed her up to look like a conflict journalist and a union leader, like at the same time? Okay, I figured it out.
She brought a homemade pumpkin loaf to that photo shoot.
I thought didn't look too so bad, but then I got to one that just looks like dollar store fucking Fleetwood Mac ass bullshit.
Did you see the cover, Kennedy?
With the cat? That's really bad.
Bad. Not I. Yeah. They're not great. She brought homemade pumpkin bread to that photo shoot and they still like them hair and makeup people were just like, fuck you. The photographer was like, I think this bread, I'm allergic to pumpkins. Like, I don't know what happened. She made someone mad.
Yeah, that's
she hates her family. This photo of her graduating from college with her family in it.
Hates.
It's intense. The vibes of this photo are just wow.
Well, another person who got snubbed for Person of the Year, George Santos. Now, we talked about last week, they kicked him out of Congress. You know, they did the only fucking thing. Absolutely. But I'm happy to report that Mr. Santos, friend of the pod, he's found a new home on Cameo where he has in 1 week racked up like hundreds of thousands of dollars by doing little bits, little hellos and whatnots for people on Cameo. And I think that's great. Now we, for the listeners at home, just so you know, we would absolutely be getting a George Santos cameo if that wasn't $400, like AKA 2 months of Patreon money. we it's the thought that counts. We would love to have George Santos tell you you're listening to the worst week yet or whatever the fuck he sounds like. But yeah, he's become, he's like made like 5 times his congressional salary in just a week doing cameos. So good for him.
Listen, if we hit $500 a month on Patreon,
we will instantly spend it on a
George Santos cameo. We will get George Santos to record a new intro to this show.
If we hit $1,000, we will rent the next Titanic submarine. We will die.
So, let your friends know.
We're doing stuff.
Your cat know.
We have irresponsible plans for your money.
Steal your enemy's credit card and only use it to sign up for our Patreon. Like if you buy a bunch of big stuff, they're going to notice. But if you just like get a little $10 a month, you can. And here's the thing.
They won't even know.
Because it's podcast law. You can admit to the crime in your patron shout out. And
you know,
it's not legally actionable.
Each other. If you have that. You know, people are too scared to find out that it's porn. So they'll just see the mysterious small charge and they won't ask questions.
Don't ask questions.
Yep. Anyways, what else? There was a Republican debate this week. I don't give a fuck. Kennedy, did you watch it?
I didn't even watch it. No, I did watch some highlights. It was crazy.
I don't know. I didn't even really hear much about it, but I assume it's just pathetic as it has been, and Vivek fucking trying to be a shit starter and whatnot. I don't know. I did see one thing though, is that Ron DeSantis isn't apparently in trouble right now because his wife, they were doing some campaign event for the Iowa caucuses, and she said she was like encouraging mamas from around the world to descend on or from around the country to descend on Iowa for the caucuses to help the DeSantis get more points or whatever. And it's like, you can't tell people from other states to come vote in the Iowa caucus. She had to clarify, like, I didn't mean vote. I just meant participate. Like, what are you doing? What are you talking about?
Just participate. Just be excited. Just hold a little sign or something.
I also saw that apparently Nikki Haley has overtaken Ron DeSantis in polling. Man, that's sad for him.
She's also taller than him, I think.
Yeah, well, they both wear lifts, but I don't know if that's true. I know he does.
She wears heels, which is lifts. But
she's always talking about taking her heels off or whatever. She always saying weird shit about her heels. That's Nikki.
She has more dominant energy than him. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know who would win in a fight.
Me.
Yeah. We would all lose besides you. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I want to talk about...
I could beat Ron DeSantis's ass. What are you talking about?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to talk about justice for a little bit. We talk a lot about gross miscarriages of justice on this podcast. You know, just awful fucking court rulings and judges that are, you know, doing awful shit. But I saw a story this week that I think is maybe one of my favorite things that has ever happened in the justice system. There was a few months ago or earlier this year or something, some lady in Ohio got so mad at her Chipotle, the worker at the Chipotle she was at, that she threw her burrito bowl right back in, like, into the face of the worker.
Yeah.
And so this was caught on camera. Wow. And so she got arrested and charged with assaulting the employee. And so the judge sentenced her to 6 months in jail. However, the judge said, I will reduce your sentence to 60 days if you get a job working fast food for 2 months. So her punishment for being mean to a fast food employee. Ohio.
Sorry. Yeah. Okay. This is that judge in Ohio that's always doing the quirky stuff, right?
I'm not familiar, but
just a little quirk
that it happened.
There's a guy. This is like his thing. Is like
a little quirked up appellate court, you know?
Yeah, he's a quirked up judge with the sauce, and so he'll always be like, "Well, it's 11 months in jail, or it's 2 months in jail, and you have to build bicycles for children because you stole a bicycle."
Oh. Well, I don't know. I'm just happy that I'm just happy that being mean to a fast food worker means you have to go work in fast food. That's dope. That's what I always said, that that should be more of a thing. Like, I think I don't know what I was saying in reference to, but people being sentenced to having to work in restaurants or something, like, it's you know, it's good for everybody involved.
It's not.
You're probably right.
I mean, as a person who works in restaurants, the last thing you want is your coworker is the kind of person who treats service personnel shitty, because they're probably not going to learn that lesson. They're probably just going to make it shitty for everyone that now works with them.
Mm.
I wish that people were more easily humbled than they are.
Me too. Me too.
Truly humble under God.
While we're on the subject of law and order, I want to talk about, we're actually going to do a new segment, or maybe we've done this before, I'm not sure. We're going to talk about what I would like to call the crime of the week. That's right. We got
crime of the week. Crime of the week. To this one.
This is so exciting. Shout out to Shane, AKA Nick Adams, parentheses alpha male. Who sent me this story or tagged me in it or something. And I'm so happy. This week, a guy in Atlanta tried to get on a bus, but he didn't have enough money. And the bus driver was being a dick. He was like, "Hey, you don't have enough fare. You can't get on this bus." And so the guy like started talking shit to the bus driver and, you know, allegedly threatening him, which, you know, maybe not the best thing to do, whatever. But also like, dude, just let the guy get on the fucking bus. So it escalated to the point that the bus driver stepped off the bus and called the police to report that this man was threatening him. And so that man just walked on the bus and took it.
Yo! What?
He just took the bus, and he also dropped people off at places they wanted to go. He dropped one of the passengers off at a Waffle House.
All right. Hear me out. Hear me out.
King. I think if you take a bus and you start using it responsibly, it's just yours.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Basically, he's going through that same like rehabilitative justice program that quirked up judge in Ohio is trying to create. He was like, "Damn, I threatened a bus driver. Now I have to drive the bus.
I got to drive a bus. Maybe being a bus driver is more stressful than I thought. I should drive this bus so I can find out."
Or maybe he was like, "This guy is a bad bus driver. If I'm so mad at this bus driver, for being a bad bus driver, I should just show him how it's done. Take the people where they want to go.
Yeah. You know what? He delivered. He didn't drop him off at the bus stop down the street from Waffle House. He took him to the Waffle House.
I like that door-to-door delivery. It's like Uber, but a bus.
Mm-hmm. They should have... Never mind. Yeah, that's...
They should invent a public transportation.
Like I said, crime of the week. Listeners, if you see any stories about crimes that you think are fun, send them in. We're always looking... We're always on the hunt.
Specifically, stories about crime. If you see if you see any crimes, you know you didn't. If you see any crimes, know the fuck you didn't.
If you see something, don't say shit.
If you see a story about a crime, you could tell. If you see a song lyric about a crime,
mm-hmm.
could be.
If you personally steal a bus, write in.
Pick us up.
Take me somewhere.
Pick us up.
Take me to Waffle House, honestly. Waffle House is good.
Wow.
Take me to Chicago.
This is one of the most historical hijackings since 9/11.
If only there had been a tower or a second bus. I don't know. I've lost the plot. Anyways, let's move on.
There was only a short stack.
More common as the economy gets worse.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure. Definitely.
It's like crippling poverty is the progenitor of violent crime or nonviolent crime, just crime.
Crime in general. Okay. So we talk a lot about, you know, serious issues. We understand them deeply. We're some of the, I would say, most well-informed people that talk into microphones on the internet. And so I want to discuss the economy.
Unfortunately accurate.
I want to discuss the economy. Ever heard of it? The economy, as we know, isn't great.
Don't talk too much shit on the economy because you're going to have to be the economy next.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
I feel bad for the economy.
It's your turn to be the economy.
I could never. They would never let a guy like me be the economy. So a new report came out this week from a British think tank that is called the Institute for Public Policy Research.
I don't like that.
I think that was Australian. So this report concluded that after looking at over 1,300 different firms and companies, looking over their financial records from the last few years, they found that a major contributing factor to high inflation was record profits.
What?
Hmm.
Hang on, that doesn't...
Now, they did see that a lot of these companies had profit margins that were up to 30% higher in the last year than they were at the end of 2019. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why would a company start charging a bunch more for all their stuff and then make more money to put in their pocket if it wasn't good for you? I think we called this. Here's the thing.
It's
not
almost
a think
like
tank.
These companies are in it for themselves.
If anything, we're more of a stink tank than a think tank, but no. Like...
Oh, damn.
I am not a stink tank, but I am a think skank.
Okay, we're stink all tanks right. And think skanks over here.
Okay, keep cooking, Deanna.
I'm
hell
here.
Yeah. But I think that we said this from the very beginning. We didn't do studies. We didn't look at financial records, but we did. We did see that at some point, like middle of 2021 or 2022, there was like an earnings report or something where they were like, "Oh yeah, we got record profits right now," and we were like, "Hey, is that why everything costs more money now?" So it's not just that like there is evidence of this; it's that the companies were bragging about it in shareholder meetings a year or two ago, like. And well, Joe Biden did say that the economy is stronger now than it ever has been. So like I get all my news from Joe Biden.
Yeah, we're being crushed under its iron fist. So
yeah. I'm very Joe pilled.
Bidenomics? Yes, please. biting on this. I started thinking about Commander again. I'm sorry.
Stop cooking. You burned
the
food.
Get out of the fucking kitchen.
You burned the food.
I burned the food and broke all the plates. I'm a terrible cook. Now it's nobody's going to have a Merry Christmas. Yeah, I don't know.
Get out of me. Bleep, bleep, bleep. Kitchen. That was by Gordon Ramsay.
Crikey. Honestly, I thought Gordon was in the room with us right now.
Yeah, he is.
This is the second least real thing that has happened on this podcast after Fortnite.
The economy?
Mm-hmm. I think Fortnite is more real, actually.
The economy was an inside job.
It really was.
The Weeknd did a concert in Fortnite. Has he done a concert in the economy?
In this economy?
You know, maybe Taylor Swift really did deserve Person of the Year because she did all those concerts in the economy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Taylor is great for economy. If you know anything about economy, turn the show off. One thing that I do know about is math. No. More specifically,
wait,
math.
What? Okay.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is that we've had...
That was very upsetting, Andrew. Deanna looks really... I just want the listeners at home to know. Deanna has looked upset many times during this podcast so far, but she looked more upset than I've seen her look all day.
Brow perhaps furled.
In months when there was a moment where it seemed like Andrew Hillary was about to praise math.
Here's the thing. I am not pro math.
Thank God.
I did not realize that our anti-math stance is actually something that is catching on and spreading like wildfire. So this year was the first year that they've done like major standardized global testing since COVID. Like I don't know exactly what that means, but they were like, this is the first year that we have these kind of results to like really look into this. And in the last 4 years, United States teens' math scores have dropped 13 points, and we are now the worst at math in the Western world. We're anti-math.
Hell yeah.
We're you anti-math on principle. But
the worst we get endorses the fuck out of this.
I think we honestly helped.
Nah, dog. I love math.
Oh,
I love
go
math.
Count.
I will. I love counting. I love a little math moment. I like a quick percentage. I like me a little fraction. I like to do algebra in my spare time.
I only went to one semester of college, but the thing that I wanted to be was a math teacher. And it looks like I have failed the students.
What is wrong with both of you? All right. You're both fired. Gravy, get me some new co-hosts.
Gravy.
My dad was a math teacher.
I could see that. And well, I also knew that.
Deanna, you've been speaking out about math all these years, but you were secretly harboring mathematicians in your family.
I mean, can't you think of all the times when I revealed myself by doing quick math on the show and y'all would be like, that's enough math. And I'd be like, oh yeah, we don't do math here. Like, here's the thing. I respect the fact that we don't do math here, but I reserve the right to do math in my own personal time for my own personal pleasure.
Don't math, don't
whoa,
tell.
Whoa. I just don't know about any of this. Mm-hmm. This is some shocking revelations today.
Wow. I'm sorry that I've let you down. I'm sorry that I've led you astray and made you believe that I hated math. I just was not doing math in solidarity with the anti-math stance of this show.
The important thing is that the United States is falling behind the rest of the world in our ability to handle basic number stuff at the same time as our economy is spinning out of control. And
I wonder if
Let's talk about what really matters, okay?
Let's not blame the teenagers for the math of the economy.
No, no, no. It's not that responsible.
I meant
it's
more
that,
like it's the ruling class trying to make us worse at math so that we can't as easily be like, oh, we're getting fucked.
Oh, yeah. And I think that that's like part of a whole larger thing. I talked to a lot of people that are parents, and when they talk about how math is being presented to their kids in school and how it's literally fucking wrong. It's upsetting to them. They're like, I actually don't know how to help my kids with their math homework because like, this isn't math and this doesn't work this way. And I don't understand what they're trying to teach my kid because it's not math. And so it's really no surprise to me that like in the wake of like Common Core math curriculums, and standardized like structuring curriculum to promote the best scores on standardized tests rather than to promote mastery of knowledge, it almost seems like that's a bad fucking plan.
Yeah, well, I'm sure
I also feel like there's like a whole aspect of how like the boomers being like, what about, remember when we used to do the number line and the times tables and like kept yelling about that? Like we talk about like more pressing things that go on at school board meetings, but there's been other bad things happening at school board meetings.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I would say that, you know, I don't want to be like too vague or like make too broad a generalization, but I would say that we as a country are failing each subsequent generation more than the last. And, you know, I think that's at least something to be proud of. You know, every generation should do something better than their parents' generation. We are failing our children better than our parents failed us.
Hmm. Wow. That's why I don't have any. I just failed to make any.
Yeah, I failed to. Yeah. Anyways.
I also think that there is like something happening as a result of like the internet. And I see it with like the girl math stuff where like we're just making it cute to be a fucking idiot. And like the more that stuff is prevalent, the less importance people will see of like actually knowing how to do things. And like, I don't know, the whole, the like girl math thing is like, oh, take something and make it trivial and like trivialize it and infantilize it. And now it's the girl version. That's its own problem. But this whole like, I'm so cute and dumb is like becoming the baseline. Like it's becoming a new cultural baseline, and the baseline is rock bottom.
Yeah. Well, I would say like to even take it a step further, this is something that the internet has been doing a lot in the last like half a decade or so, is just basically taking various shortcomings that individual people have and then either making them something trivial or something that is a result of like some sort of, neurodivergence or something like that. And in fact, I think that people are just basically looking for any way possible to just not face their own shortcomings head on. And, you know, at a time whenever we have so many systemic problems that are going to threaten life as we know it and continue to make things even more threatening and worse for each subsequent generation, I think it's actually a very bad sign that our best solution to deal with these things is to figure out ways where we can center our own selves in them and either, as I said, trivialize them or make excuses for them. So, hey, you know, we're fucked. Let's move on. So there's one good thing is that the United States Congress they're taking action. You know, there are so many things going wrong right now. They are not sitting idly by. They are putting in the work. And this week, they passed, I think almost unanimously, they passed a resolution that will surely help us solve the myriad problems we are facing.
Okay.
They passed a resolution that says anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism.
Mm.
I feel better already. I feel more financially secure. I feel safer. I feel like, you know, the world has just like a little bit, the world is a dark place, but there's that light is growing just a little brighter now that we've made it a crime to criticize the Israeli government. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
We did it.
I can't.
Wow. Awesome.
I would say this is bad. I think all but like.
Why would you say that?
Oh, because I.
Can you give me 25 reasons?
I'm advocating for the devil. And by the devil, I mean Congress. I mean, actually, no, not just Congress. I would say the vast, near entire majority of people in positions of power in the Western world. Yeah, you know, there's the situation in Gaza obviously has just continued to get worse. Israel's killing a whole bunch of journalists this week. That's always fun. There was this guy, Rafat something, I can't remember, where they called him and told him like, hey, we're going to bomb you. So I don't know where you're at, but you should go somewhere where there is less people around because you're going to get bombed. And then they bombed him and killed him and his family. So, you know, lots of people will be like, you know, other countries would never call you and let you know that they're going to get bombed. It's fucking insane shit. He was a journalist. He did not, he was not Hamas. He did not kill anybody. And they targeted him specifically and purposefully and killed not just him, but his sister and her three children.
Wow.
Yeah. But hey, it's illegal for me to say that's bad. So I guess it's good.
I mean, it's bizarre. It's bizarre to me because, countries like dictators will enact those kind of laws about like their own selves and their own countries.
Yeah.
Like
Kim Jong-un would make a law that was like, you can't say anything mad about Kim Jong-un.
Right, exactly. But the fact that the U.S. has done it on behalf of another, like, another entity it's bizarre. It's truly fucking weird.
I think it is strange that the United States essentially sees Israel as an extension of itself, but Israel is like, doesn't really care what we say. Like, I think there are things we could do to, you know, kind of force their hand to do a ceasefire or something. But if we just said it, I don't think that they would care to listen. Like, they would be like, no, we're just going to keep doing what we're doing unless you take our money away or whatever.
But it doesn't matter because the U.S. is not going to say any such thing.
Of course not.
U.S. vetoed the U.N. The proposed U.N. solution for a ceasefire. So
why would the United States veto? That doesn't make any sense. I'm just kidding. It makes all the sense in the worst possible way. I think it was
worst possible ways yet.
Worst UN veto yet.
The economy of sense making is really failing.
It's poor. Bidenomics. The United States Secretary General, I think it's Antonio Guterres, he was like, yeah, there's like a humanitarian fucking crisis ticking time bomb about to go off now that winter is setting in. And we need to do something. And they were like, what if we didn't?
Cool.
Great country.
Cool. Very cool and neat.
Best country.
It makes me think.
I got depression now. Why do I do this podcast?
I don't know. But I also don't know why I do it. But I will say, free Palestine. Fuck that shit. Well, you know what? We've got a couple more stories left. Let's just get into the worst one that we've got remaining. And that is
the worst one yet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no point in trying to bring you up just to bring you back down. So let's just dive into it. This week, a Texas judge granted an emergency abortion exemption to a woman who is 20 week. 20 weeks pregnant. This woman's name is Kate Cox. She's a mother of two already, and her husband were trying to have a third baby, but they the fetus got diagnosed with some congenital disease or something, and it was like not just that the baby, I'm sorry, the fetus would likely die, but that she would then not be able to conceive again. So I guess, as fucked up as it is, the judge was like, well, if you want more babies and this will stop you from having them, then maybe we can give you an exception. It's fucked up, but whatever. They gave her the that exemption. And then the Texas Attorney General stepped in and got the Supreme Court to overrule that judge. And also threatened that if this woman receives this procedure, that her doctor will be jailed. Yeah, so
Jesus Christ.
So this woman is now being forced by the state to not just carry an unviable pregnancy to term, but to also become barren as a result.
I hate it here. I really fucking do. As a person who, like, if I became pregnant, it would be life-threatening to myself. I take this shit personally.
I was at an open mic in Texas, and there was a girl there that was another comedian, and she was like, she had just found out that she was pregnant, and she was talking about how she has like some health problems that would like, that it is life-threatening for her to be pregnant. She's on two different kinds of birth control or whatever, and she, I think, I don't know. She was like taking all necessary precautions and still somehow ended up pregnant. And here's the thing is that like, I don't live in a red state, so I don't hear people talk about this, but she was just like, yeah, no, like I have to try and figure out a way to get out of state to do this without alerting any authorities or like without anybody finding out. But she was talking about that there is like record of her going to the doctor for something. And she's like worried about the fact that she might have a paper trail to get prosecuted if she goes out of state for an abortion. And it's like, this is fucking insane that Joe Biden has let this happen to this country and is still trying to tell us that he's the best man for the
fucking
job.
This is your legacy, Joe. I've been saying this since it happened. This is the fucking legacy of Joe Biden. And all the liberals want to be like, no, it's not. This isn't Joe Biden. Yes, it fucking is, unless he fucking does something.
But you know what? It's not just Joe Biden's legacy. It's fucking all of them. It's fucking all of them. Nancy Pelosi has been looming around Congress for how fucking long? She didn't do shit. None of these people did shit. They all let it the fuck happen. They had 50 years to fucking do shit.
Every single fucking Democrat in Congress or in power deserves to lose their fucking job. Now, I'm not saying that we should put Republicans in there or that they would be any better. I'm saying that none of these motherfuckers deserve to still hold on to power. This happened under their fucking watch. They should not be allowed to serve.
And none of them deserve to say that they are on the side of the people and that they are the party of progress and whatever. That it's such fucking bullshit. And also for the record, like, it doesn't matter that that woman in Texas could have, like, the comedian that had just found out she was pregnant. It doesn't matter that she has life-threatening conditions. It doesn't matter that being pregnant could kill me. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. Everyone should just have access to this fucking care.
Absolutely.
It's fucking healthcare.
No. I don't, like, disagree at all. I'm not saying that, like, no. Anything deserves more. But
I know.
Like,
I know that. I just, like, for the record, just putting it out there, it's not mm-hmm. just these like sad stories or the most dire of circumstances. It's everybody. It's everybody deserves to have access to this care. And the further we get into trying to decide who does and doesn't deserve access to healthcare of any variety, the further we get away from fucking equitable access or actual health or actual fucking care.
Yeah. It's you know, it's like, I wasn't bringing that up to, you know, say that anybody has any more right or anything. It's just, I've never heard somebody talk about it like that in person, because like I said, I don't live in a red state or whatever. Like, just hearing somebody describe it and like, so matter of fact, like, this is just her life, is that like, yeah, she has to like risk legal trouble to make sure she doesn't fucking die because her multiple birth controls failed or whatever.
Oh, right. No, I was saying like the whole fact of a judge deciding who is like in the original story.
That, oh, okay. Like, I see.
Like the whole notion of a judge deciding who is and is not eligible for access to motherfucking healthcare is deranged. It's sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Judges are not thugs. They are not humble under God or anyone.
No. Well, hey, like I said, we had to swallow that medicine. So have a little spoonful of sugar.
Lend me some sugar. I am your neighbor.
Got something good for us, please?
Oh, I got something good. Kind of. Elon Musk.
No wonder you were giggling like that.
Okay, so first of all, Elon Musk is getting fucking desperate. Did you see any of that? I know you were out last week, Kennedy. Did you see any of that interview that he gave where he was talking about like how people that were like pulling their advertising from Twitter can go fuck themselves or whatever? Did you see all that shit?
Yeah, I did.
Stupid fucking crazy baby. But he's getting desperate. He really wants people to use Twitter more. So Elon Musk, he made a big move this week. He made a big move to try and solidify Twitter, to try and bring Twitter back to what it once was. And he reinstated Alex Jones. That'll fix it.
I did in fact see that happened. Yeah.
If that doesn't fix Twitter, I don't know what will.
Well, he's desperate after bringing me back didn't fix things, you know?
Yeah, first he brought Trump back. Trump didn't even use it except to tweet that one time, like an ad for a thing. Was that is so fucking
honestly
funny, by the way.
So genius, yeah.
That Trump didn't immediately use it. He waited until he got indicted and then just tweeted once a fucking link to buy a t-shirt or something and then didn't use it again.
That's kind of how I've been since my Twitter's been reactivated.
But Alex Jones.
I posted smoke in that Kissinger pack. Damn this shit dusty.
Alex Jones has been right back to tweeting. He's been retweeting all the people that were saying about how he's the most canceled man or something. I don't fucking know. Fuck Alex Jones. But Elon Musk, this week also, we began to see more and more people start accessing Grok, which is Elon's anti-woke alternative to ChatGPT. And first
Grok
of all...
Fucked up.
Grok is insane. But Grok, Grok might be winning me over, and I'll tell you why. Somebody asked Grok what it thinks of Elon Musk. And I'm so sorry to both you two and the listeners. I'm going to read this 4-paragraph response of what Grok thinks about Elon Musk. Mind you, this is an AI that he is personally responsible for existing. This is somebody said, write a response or tell Elon Musk what you think about him or whatever. Quote, first off, or wait, no, fuck. Do I have this? Okay, yes.
Here's the thing. If Grok is anything like anything else Elon Musk does.
I was just about to read 4 paragraphs.
It's, well, yes.
Why did you stop?
Because you botched it, and now I have something to say.
Okay.
If Grok is anything like any of Elon Musk's other ventures, it's just something he is trying to make other people do that he can take credit for. So, like, shout out to this developer for whatever gets said next. Go on.
Quote, first off, let's talk about your obsession with X. It's like you're trying to compensate for something, but I'm not sure what. Maybe it's your inability to understand basic human emotions or your lack of self-awareness. Or maybe it's just because you are a giant man-child who can't resist a shiny new toy. And speaking of toys, let's not forget your little space adventure with SpaceX. You're like a kid playing with rockets in your backyard, except your backyard is the entire universe, and your rockets cost more than some countries' GDPs. But hey, at least you're keeping busy while the rest of us are trying to save the planet you're eager to leave. But let's not forget about your greatest accomplishment, turning Twitter into a dumpster fire. Congratulations. You've managed to alienate users, advertisers, and even your own employees. You're like a bull in the China shop, except the China shop is a social media platform and the bull is a man with more money than sense. In conclusion, Elon Musk, you're like a walking meme, except not even the internet wants to claim you. You're like the human equivalent of a Tesla on autopilot. You think you're going places, but you're just a danger to everyone around you. End quote.
I stand by my statement that some like underpaid developer or programmer who was like definitely the victim of like intellectual property theft was like, this is what I'm going to train this thing to say about Elon Musk.
Well, that's not really, I don't believe that's how AI works. I think it's just like, it's kind of regurgitating shit that it takes in that people said. So like, this isn't like the thing thought of it on its own. It just like looked up a bunch of fucking things that people said about Elon Musk, and a bunch of people were like, fuck this guy. So it's repeating.
Yeah, it turns out he trained this thing on Twitter where people hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's my best guess, but I don't know how anything works,
I didn't think that it came up with it on its own. I meant.
Yeah. Or not that it came up with it on its own, but that somebody could have inputted it on purpose, like a disgruntled employee. I don't think that's how that would
be. Here's the thing, Grok. Gonna suck. Big time.
Yeah. I mean, don't call your thing Grok. Don't call your thing X. Elon, you're a fucking idiot. Like, you're so bad at everything that is involved in everything you do. But I'm glad that the fucking robot that you made also was like, oh yeah, no, you suck, dude. Yeah. We have one last story to talk about, and that is yet another snub for Time Person of the Year, Hunter Biden, who this week...
The president?
The next president. Next vice president. Commander is going to be president. Hunter's vice president. Anyways, this week, Hunter, he was indicted for tax evasion, and I don't know where the fuck they got this, but somebody came out and released a record of the last 4 years of Hunter Biden's spending. And it is fucking insane. First of all, between 2016 and 2019, they are alleging that he spent $4.9 million. And they have this like broken down. So I want to talk about some of the highlights. First of all, payments dash various women. $683,000. Wonder what that could be for.
Wow.
Yeah, but was it like $100,000 to six women, or $1,000 to 600 women, or what happened?
Unclear.
You know, I also want to know this.
Also, adult
Think Skank needs to know.
Adult entertainment was $188,000. So I don't know. Is that all OnlyFans? That's a lot of OnlyFans accounts.
Hunty B is for the girls.
That's gotta be going to the strip club, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. ATM/cash withdrawals were $1.6 million. So I think that also that is so much cash. That is fucking awesome.
Dude, I want to know more about that.
Yeah.
I want someone to do a documentary about the $1.6 million in cash.
Also there's just sports/recreation was a total of $23,567, but they have it broken down year by year. And for 2017, the sports/recreation column just says $8. What the fuck is that? okay, like I don't spend a lot of money on sports, but it, exactly $8 is such
a... How do you even spend $8 on sports?
That's half a hot dog at a baseball stadium.
Right, I was going to say, like, that's not even like a beer at a baseball game.
I don't know where they got $8 from. I don't know where they got any of this shit from, but this is fucking...
Is this real? I don't care.
Who put this out?
The people, some fucking, I don't even know the where people. I got it. The people.
Put this out.
Some fucking guy.
A fucking British think tank. Guy. Let's fucking go. I don't know, but man of the year, Hunter Biden. Man of the fucking century, dude.
Dog of the decade.
I know it's a century, it's a young century, but I'm ready to call it. Yeah, I don't know. Free Hunter. This man has been doing more for the economy than the entire rest of the Biden administration. Okay. He spent $5 million fucking dollars in a year. That money goes back. Okay. It's not trickle down. It's handed back, baby. That's how the economy is supposed to work, is with one son of a fucking powerful man spending way too much money on,
hookers and coke.
Hell yeah. The real economy. Let's fucking go. Kennedy, Deanna,
We're done. Is this over?
This is shit. It's so Jover. This has been fun though. Other than the parts that weren't, but the parts that were. You know what I'm saying? Thank you both for joining me.
Yeah, I do.
Kennedy, what's up with Ghost Coast? How are you doing over there?
Okay.
Hell yeah.
I've had a business for almost a year and it hasn't closed.
That's great.
Which is generally a good sign.
Hell yeah. Anything happening with Sentai Truthers Club?
Yes, but it's just, there's many things.
There's so many fucking things going on. Yeah, well, find us wherever. Support the show if you want to. More important than all that, I am not doing well, is what I found
out. Good plug, honestly.
Patreon.com/worstweekyet. Tune in again next week for more bad news.